listening to Cruising the Blues with me, your host, Mr. Jack. I'll be your chauffeur and guide as we cruise through the highway and various regions of the blues on our ultimate blues tour. I hope within the next hour and in subsequent shows I can introduce you to the blues in its many forms. We'll take a musical road trip and cruise the many waters of the blues from the early 20th century through its evolution to today and where it's headed tomorrow. So join me this next hour as we start cruising the blues. Fasten your seatbelts, here we go.
Yeah, you got me licking gravy, baby.
Hey, today on our blues cruise, we're going to visit another city where the blues is happening. Now, Bismarck, North Dakota may not be the likely answer to the question, name a city in the northern United States where the blues is alive and well and thriving. But when you live in northwestern Minnesota and you've been in the blues scene as long as I have, you definitely know differently. Bismarck has the Muddy River Blues Society, which has been going strong for over 20 years, with a mission to promote and educate the public in regards to the blues. And today, we have the privilege to visit one of Bismarck's very own musicians whose passion is for the blues, Jennifer Lynn, founder and front lady of her band, The Groove Revival. Jennifer, thanks so much for taking the time to visit with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, I understand you formed, renamed, but let's just say you formed The Groove Revival in 2015. How did the band form?
It's a good question. And actually, what started out about, 4 years ago now, I decided to get really serious about playing the guitar. About 4 years ago, I could play five chords, and anything that was a bar chord was pretty sketchy. But so basically what happened was I decided I'm going to do this guitar thing. I really like it. I want to get better at it. So I took kind of a year off from, I was singing in a few different bands and kind of strumming along on acoustic guitar. And I basically decided I'm going to do this and I'm going to front my own band. So I took a year off from playing in other people's bands and just dedicated myself to getting better at guitar. And then when I kind of got to a point where I was ready to kind of test the waters out in public, enough woodshedding, I decided it was time to get on a stage somewhere and actually play my electric guitar. Hmm. My current drummer, he can play several instruments, and he's also very good at bass. And we've been friends for a while, and I asked him, I said, hey, here's what I'm looking at doing. Do you want to just do some open mics with me and bring in your bass, and we'll just do a two-person electric guitar, bass, no drums, and just do a 45-minute set just so I can kind of start to build my chops on guitar and feel more comfortable. And he agreed to do it, and then it kind of rocketed, you could say, from there, where it wasn't too long after that he moved to drums, we added a bass player, and we kind of hit the ground running. And haven't looked back since. Yeah.
Wow. So back to your guitar playing too. I just saw you in Fargo this year at the Blues Fest. That's the first time I've actually heard you or seen you, and I have to say your lead guitar playing is very, very good for relatively being new at it. From what or from whom did you study to do this, to learn how to play?
Well, I think the biggest thing, anybody who picks up an instrument, the biggest thing is just perseverance. You're going to suck, and as long as you have people that are with you along the way saying, you can do this, or don't get discouraged, or let me show you what you're trying to do, let me help you. And I've had several people that fit that description, which really helps. And then, spending the time on your own. I love playing. When I'm not out performing, I'm still playing 5-6 days a week, where it's just me and my guitar, and I'm, noodling around and woodshedding. And nice thing is we have the internet nowadays. It's not like, several of my mm-hmm. friends who've been playing guitar for 40 years. Back then it was, here's the album, and we're going to try to play this note for note, and there was no slowing it down or speeding it up. So, we do have the advantage nowadays of having the internet to kind of help expedite your learning. And then, you know, I have a lot of good friends who are absolutely fantastic guitar players, and they've been very encouraging and also very open to, if I have questions or, you know, just general nerd guitar questions, they take the time to visit with me, and that's really what it takes. It kind of takes a village,
so to speak. That's super. That's great. Mm-hmm. So now you're playing a Fender Stratocaster, and it looks like it has triple humbuckers and a maple neck. However, those pickups look different to me. Are they just a standard Fender HHH?
They're actually aftermarket Seymour Duncans.
Oh,
they've got
okay. I knew they looked a little different. Okay.
Yeah, they got the mini humbucker.
Yeah, okay.
I love it because they kind of have that. It was either that or the Texas Specials, and I kind of liked the really fat sound that came along with it. I've usually always played like a Marshall amp, or now I play a Vox amp, and so it really kind of gives it this meaty tone, which I feel I kind of need when I'm playing with my trio band. So,
yeah. Is your Vox amp, is that 212?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, okay. It's the Alnico Blues. It's the new hand-wired amp. It's as close to vintage as I can afford at the moment.
yeah. We're always, yeah, I know what that's like.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, your sound is great.
Thank you.
It really is. It's definitely good. Now, I read a statement that you made relating to your grandmother's advice that got you to thinking more about your love for music. Can you share that with my audience?
Yeah, I can. You know, grandparents always seem to know best. And my grandmother was, she had cancer, and she was getting close to her time. And she had pulled everyone in our family. We're a very close-knit family. And I'm originally from Minneapolis area, so I was home visiting while this was all going on. And she cleared the room and pulled me aside and talked to me about music. And what she had said was, which really resonated with me, she said, even if, because she knows I'm an extreme type A personality, and she said, you know, if God gives you a gift, regardless of what that gift is, you should pursue it, if nothing more than the enjoyment of having that gift. And even if it's you just in a room somewhere enjoying the fact that you have the ability to do it, you should do it. And wow. She was completely right, and it really made me think, because, you know, here's someone who's at the end of their life, they're looking back with no regrets. You know, she had a great life, she raised 5 kids and married her childhood sweetheart, and you know, no regrets. So I think she was looking at all of us, and she gave each of us tidbits of information. And, you know, I think it was kind of along the lines of looking and saying, I want to say this because I don't want them to regret someday knowing that they've had the ability to do this and have never pursued it. So she was pretty right on.
What a tribute to your grandmother. And also, doesn't that tell us as individuals that sometimes the things that we say to others really are important and they really mean something? You know, sometimes we never discover that, but that's so cool that just stuck with you.
It did. Yeah. I mean, I was very close with her, and actually all of my grandparents for that matter. But, you know, it just carries a lot of weight when it comes from somebody that you respect so much.
Well, that was great advice, I have to say. Here's a little snippet from the 2017 Fargo Blues Fest in Fargo, North Dakota. Jennifer Lynn using her gift here with her band, The Groove Revival. Jennifer Lynn today on Cruisin' the Blues with Mr. Jack. Thank you.
so much for your love. Thank you guys so much. If you want to hang out, we can talk nerdy guitar.
So let's just talk about the blues. When did you discover the blues, or what sparked your interest in the blues, and what is it of that genre of music that appeals to you?
Yeah, well, I grew up listening literally to just about everything, and the same story I just told you about my grandmother, that grandparents' house, when I would visit, they had one of those very old style radios. It literally stood about as tall as I did when I was seeing little kids standing up, and anytime you'd go over there, when they didn't have the television on, you would hear anything from Hank Williams Sr. to even Ray Charles to Aretha Franklin even. And so that was my grandparents' house. And then, you know, my parents were into music, and they kind of had a diverse palette of albums that they would let me spin as a kid and not ruin. But I kind of grew up with a love for music, and I kind of fell into the blues, where when I was singing, I was actually in this country band doing cover music, and a friend of mine had said, you know, Jen, this might sound kind of weird, but anytime that you sing on your own, or maybe go off on a tangent, you're always singing like a bluesy kind of a note, or a bluesy kind of a melody over the top of whatever you're singing. Huh. And just had asked why I did that, and I said, well, one of my favorite country artists when I was growing up was Travis Tritt, who, if you've ever listened to his music, I mean, in hindsight, he's got a lot of that roots, kind of a blues undertones to his country music. So, so anyway, I kind of dove headfirst after that, and kind of went backwards to some of the things that I ended or grew up listening to, and kind of got in touch back with that type of music and fell in love all over again. And then the rest is kind of history. I just went down that road, and I just love it. So that's kind of where I belong.
Wow, that's super. Okay, so you write your own material as well. And as you know, I work with a lot of students who are getting into writing their own songs. What would you say to them about how to approach their songwriting? Is there a procedure you personally use that seems to work for you, or do you start with a topic, or come up with a groove first, or the lyrics, or vice versa, or whatever? What would you say to them?
Yeah, it's kind of funny, because I'm actually just finishing up my next album, which will be a full-length 10 original songs that we're actually sending out to get mixed, not this coming week, but the week after. So, yeah, it's kind of funny, because everybody who's a songwriter, and this is from the best all the way to the beginners, has kind of their own method to their madness. And some are kind of haphazard, and unfortunately I kind of fall under the haphazard approach, where literally I've written songs where I've been in the shower, and between the shampoo and conditioning cycle, I have a melody going in my head that by the time I get out of the shower, the song is written. And then I have other songs that I literally labor over for whatever reason. And to me, it's many times the inspiration comes where I don't watch a lot of TV. I listen to a lot of music. I listen to a lot of old music, specifically on vinyls. So cool. I'm doing the whole side one, starting with the first song all the way through, flipping it over, you know, things that we don't really get exposed to that much anymore. Not many people, unless you're driving in a car, listen to an album from start to finish anymore.
Yes.
You know? So I feel like I'll be listening to, like, for example, on the new album, one of my favorite guitar players is Rory Gallagher. Wow. And I was listening to, not so random, because Rory was a fantastic guitar player, but a lot of people, when I say that, some people even say, who? But I was listening to one of his albums, and actually on the side B, I had just written all these lyrics, because sometimes the lyrics will come to me with actually no melody, and it's almost more like a poem. Mm-hmm. It kind of has like a rhyme or some sort of phrasing that I know will someday be a song, but I just haven't figured it out yet. And so I'm listening to this album, a Rory Gallagher album, and on the B side of the album, there was this song that, I'm not even kidding when I say, I listened to it, and it was a nice kind of like a slower blues, kind of a shuffle. And while I'm listening to it, I'm singing the lyrics I literally just wrote the next day, and I'm like, well, that fits. Well, there you go. So I guess that's going to be the type of, you know, it's going to be this kind of progression, and you kind of just, sure. you know, take inspiration from other artists.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
That's kind of how it snowballs for me anyway.
Great. And, you know, I think it's really important. I mean, I can tell that, well, you grew up with a lot of different music. One thing I find very difficult today is I try to share stuff like Rory Gallagher or other artists like that, that the younger generation has no clue who they are. And it's very tough to get them to take like a CD home and listen to it or something. I literally have to show them the song during our, you know, our lesson.
I can understand that.
It's kind of tough. So, I mean, and you're right. We can get so much influence from what we listen to and going outside of the box sometimes. And so I hear what you're saying. That's great advice. And okay, so speaking of advice, you know, for up-and-coming musicians who have the dream of gigging and playing festivals and venues, what would you say, what are some tips for them that you, you know, let's just say they're new at this, but they have dreams of that. What would you say to them?
I would just say, you know, it really comes down to your work ethic. I mean, I follow a lot of, you know, really famous musicians, and I've even met several of them, and it seems to be the consistent fact is, one, they believe in what they're doing above all else, meaning, for example, like my album that's going to be coming out, it's music. It doesn't necessarily fit into like this pigeonholed, you know, like commercial radio tries to do, where, you know, why, between you and I don't listen to a whole ton of commercial radio nowadays unless it's serious, just because there's, it seems like all the songs start to sound the same. So number one, just stick to who you are, stick to your identity. Once you find out who that person is and what your sound is, be comfortable with the fact that even if you have 100 fans versus 1 million fans, there's 100 people that are coming because they love what you're doing. And that is the point. They're there for the music. And that's, you know, the best example is, you know, I've played shows just like any musician can tell you, where you have high aspirations and you know, you're playing to crickets chirping because it isn't as full as you would have liked it. And that's how it goes sometimes. And one of my friends hit it right on the head when he said, well, did anybody come up to you after the show and say that they enjoyed the music? And I said, well, yeah, of course they did. He said, well, isn't that the point? Kind of puts it in perspective, right? So
great.
The first thing is, make it about the music. Two, when you're going into the trenches, which you will be, there's going to be lots of people that are there with you. So don't get discouraged when you're trying to get into festivals. You're maybe not having success right away. Keep gigging. Keep taking those gigs, even if 5 people show up. As long as the 5 people that are there, if one of those people comes up to you at the end of the night and says, thank you so much for your music, that's kind of the whole point. And it'll really start to snowball, so to speak, where pretty soon you'll start to see more people coming. Pretty soon those venues that you've been trying to get into are now saying, yeah, sure, come on in. Pretty soon the festivals that you're interested in are saying, yeah, sure, we can put you as an opening act. Pretty soon you're the, you know, you might even just, you know, that's why they always say you got to pay your dues. And it's really true. And it's not as much about, it's not as much about a pecking order as it is, there's a learning curve that goes along with it too, you know? So just got to be patient, keep plugging away, enjoying what you do. Every time you play, it should be about the music and not about your ego. And
let's get back into some music here from Jennifer Lynn's debut EP album, I'm All Wrong for You, Baby. Here's the title cut from that. Jennifer Lynn on Cruisin' the Blues with Mr. Jack.
I don't wanna meet your mama. I don't wanna wear your ring. Boy, can you hear me? Thank you. I'll make you plead. Got everything you want, I got everything you need. Hey, hey, hey. Yeah, I'm the type of girl. I'm all wrong for you, baby, but in all the right way. Hey, hey, yeah, 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 yeah.
All right, you're listening to Jennifer Lynn and her band, The Groove Revival. That was a song entitled Long Way From Home. We've got a lot more here to hear from Jennifer Lynn, so stay tuned. I'll be right back in just a moment.